Looks like baby vomit. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. Uh-huh. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
What about weed? You gonna be any weed?
They poke the bear. Don and Mike.
Don't forget our website's open all the time, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Uh-huh. On the front page, you will see information about joining our Homovember Spectacular.
Should be the best Thanksgiving show we've ever done.
The gayest Thanksgiving ever. Also, the website, we're trying to make it a little easier for you to navigate your way around it. If you go to the section that says Photo Gallery, you'll see a bunch of pictures. One of our listeners went down to New Orleans and took pictures of Super Dave working in the restaurant.
Any pictures of him touching the food?
He looks like one of those witches with a big bowl and a stick.
Ah.
You know, the boil, toil,
oh, wonderful,
trouble.
Yes. Making the gumbo.
You've never seen a bigger pot.
Oh, can't wait to see him.
All of that on our website.
It's a good fun.
Along with, we have some Britney Spears stuff. Now, are you going to talk about Britney Spears
Not
at all?
Not today.
All right, good. Good. Thank you, Buzz.
Sure.
Then we can simply listen to the one-minute clip that got played on all the news shows today is real news.
The one where she's completely out of it.
Right.
Not completely out of it. I mean, that's not fair, but she's not really interested.
Where she calls up the hottest ball shock jock Ryan Seacrest show.
Right.
Let's just count the number of times that she says, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Brittany.
Good morning, Brittany. Sorry to wake you up.
It's okay.
How much does that overwhelming coverage actually get to you and bother you?
The coverage of it? I try not to let it get to me. You know, people talk and they say what they want at the end of the day, you know, and the tabloids and, you know, the magazines. And you just try to keep doing what you do. And, like, you know, as long as you know what's up and you know it's true, that's, you know, all that really matters, you know. It's sad, you know, how cruel our world can be, but at the end of the day, like I said, you know, you just got to know in your heart that, you know, you're doing the best that you can, and, you know, that's basically it.
And do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids?
What?
Do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids?
Oh, God, yeah.
And how often will you see them?
That's like all in the court, like stuff like that. My lawyers know all that stuff.
Yeah, all right, so there you go. I didn't count the you-knows, but you know what I do enjoy? That thing that top 40 stations do, if you're going to talk to somebody, you can't just talk. You've got to have the
music. Yes, because otherwise it won't hold our interest. Have the music track underneath the whole thing.
I counted 14 you knows.
14 you knows in less than a minute. Right?
Less than a minute.
Mm-hmm. That's how we do radio now.
Super, yes, yes. Keep them stimulated.
How we do radio when we talk about eating food.
Let me see, the hottest woman as far as the tabloids are concerned. How do we hold people's interest? Yeah, keep a music bed underneath it. I think she's smarter than she comes across in the tabloids.
She'd almost have to be.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna.
How are you anyway?
I am well, thank you.
Hi there.
Former world champion tennis player Martina Hingis.
Hingis!
Says she's being wrongly accused of using cocaine, so she's retiring from tennis. The 27-year-old says an outsourced testing company has accused her of doing coke during Wimbledon.
Hey, baby, she was really wearing her tennis whites.
Woo! But she says another drug test came back negative. Hingis says she could never play tennis under the influence of any drug. And at 27, she says she'd rather quit than fight.
Ingus. Anything to get to the net faster.
Hingis.
Hingis.
Hey, that one was on the line.
Hey, Martina Hingis.
She says she'd rather not fight what she calls the doping machinery. Also today, nearly a 500,000 cases of Gino's Pizza being recalled by General Mills.
Leave.
The general says the pepperoni might be seasoned with E. coli bacteria.
Oh. Hey, this pepperoni
She tastes so good. I wonder if Otis did a poop on it.
Otis up in heaven.
He's a no good, the pepperoni.
He's no good.
What's the matter, Gino?
By all accounts, TV is going to start to suck more than usual and sooner than most of us expected. The talks between the writers and producers broke off last night, with both sides still far apart on how to split the profits from the writers' work that appears on DVD, the internet, and other new mediums, including cell phones.
Are they not going to, like, continue to work at least for a short period of time? They're officially on strike already, aren't they?
They are, and in fact, because they have no contract, the union has told its people to take home their personal effects from work when they clock out today. Now, most of the shows most affected, as we mentioned before, are Leno and Letterman, The Daily Show, The Colbert Report.
They'll
all go into rerun mode.
Welcome to our show. Who wrote the news on that, losers?
Who wrote the news for you today, Buzz? What scab?
I wrote it myself.
Now, this wouldn't have happened in the day of Sally Rogers.
No.
No.
They wouldn't have gone on strike. Alan Brady wouldn't have allowed it.
Now, you were asking about Letterman.
Buddy Sorrell.
Buddy Sorrell would have stayed there, and Mel Cooley would have made sure it happened.
Huh. Rob might have crossed the picket line.
Yeah, Rob would have crossed the picket line.
I don't know. Petrie's no scab.
That's
scab.
Right. That's right. You asked about Letterman yesterday. During the strike in 1988, rather, Letterman honored the picket line at first, but then returned to work after the strike dragged on for 5 months. So he did eventually cross the picket line, but he waited several months first.
See, there's a different management now at CBS. I just have a feeling that if he stays off the air for a couple of weeks during sweeps, mm-hmm. that someone with big white teeth and a very hot, robotic Japanese, Chinese, Asian wife might call him up and say, "Get your gap tooth ass in there and sit down and make funny, boy."
Mm-hmm. I really think it'll be resolved quickly, because I don't think it's like CBS to drag any kind of negotiation on.
By the way, in 1988, when
are you speaking from personal experience?
My own personal experience would say things happen rapidly in this company. They make a decision, they stick with it, and they get it done.
That's what I find, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Things move quickly.
Of course, we work in the radio division, and we're the best part of the CBS empire.
That's why they call it the rapid radio division.
The best part of the CBS jewel.
Right. Things don't move slowly.
I can't imagine that they're going to let him take time off, because I was reading something in the trades today. Moonves, the president of CBS, was making some speech today about the state of the company.
Right.
And, you know, I don't understand how TV works as compared to radio. Mm-hmm. I know that they've got CSI, which has been the number one show on TV for years.
Yes.
And in my humble opinion, CBS, the TV network, they've never done dick to promote this show.
Right.
They almost like go out of their way. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the number one show. But, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Really, watch The Big Bang Theory. That's the show we want you to watch.
Right.
So it's number one, and they kind of ignore it. Well, now it's taken a bit of a hit this year. It's slipping a little bit because they got competition from The Office. Competition from Grey's Anatomy.
The Bionic Woman.
Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade? These are the shows that are eating into it.
Sure. Right.
Part of what he was going to say today when Les Moonves spoke about the state of the company was how concerned he was with the ratings on CSI.
Really?
Yeah. Like, out of all the things that you're going to... You understand the point?
Like,
that
that's getting tired, and that's got legs. I mean, that show's got definite legs.
Out of all the things that you want to blame a slump in the company on, or earnings being off, or revenues being off, one of the first things he's going to say is, well, CSI is off.
And I've told him every single time, if there's any ratings dip anywhere in the country, always blame it on Harry Smith.
Please.
He's an easy mark. Uh-huh. He truly is.
Anyway, I don't know. I feel bad for the... Well, I don't feel bad for them. They're overpaid actors, and they don't really have to do anything except read words that other people have written for them. But,
exactly.
But still.
That's why we need the writers.
Right.
Still, you know, that's a pretty popular show. I would venture to say that if CBS's earnings are off this quarter or any quarter, it's really probably not because CSI has lost a ratings point.
You know how you get around the writer's strike, though, and this is brilliant. I haven't even submitted this to the executives. You know they're going to bring reality shows in, so here you go. You have a reality show about TV writers.
Well, that'd be good.
Huh? There it is.
All I know is that if NCIS is on,
I'm there. That's the one. Talk about a guaranteed blow-by.
How about a funny show that doesn't require writing, like a Jim Nance improv show?
Yes, Jim Nance's improv troupe.
Hey, guys, over the line.
I'll do it to help you, Les.
I will. How about this? Give me a relationship and an object.
All we need is a live audience and some costuming.
Our founding fathers thought it would be...
So, Buzz, hold on a second. Yes. To get back to the writer's strike.
Yes.
To get back to the writer's strike.
Uh-huh.
When is your
expert opinion that something would happen on the Letterman show.
I think does he normally does a fresh show on Friday night. They probably taped it earlier this week.
It's very important to know.
So I'm going to say Monday.
Today is the day that TV starts their rating sweeps.
And in his monologue last night, he made reference to it, or at his desk piece. I'm not sure. He was talking about the writer's strike. So he is aware of it. He mentioned it on the show last night.
What about Leno? Same thing with him?
Yeah, same thing with him. Except I don't know. I don't think Leno tapes ahead. His show may be a rerun tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You may see it that early.
What did I read about Leno today? That if there's a show next week, he's changing his entire schedule around the time that they tape the show to accommodate Garth Brooks. So that Garth Brooks can not only tape the Tonight Show, but also be in Kansas City later that night for a concert. And apparently Jay Leno has some sort of weird man-on-man relationship with Garth Brooks where, like, he's loyal to Garth Brooks and Garth Brooks is loyal to him.
Was he one of the first guys to sign Jay Leno's CD?
It was.
Which I always love when he does, hey, when you sign this for me.
He has premiered his CD on The Tonight Show every time since Jay Leno's hosted. This is the first time The Tonight Show.
But it's Garth Brooks.
I know. It's the first time The Tonight Show has shifted their schedule in 28 years.
Wow.
For Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Chris Gaines.
Oh, that's right.
Well worth it.
And by the way, the last time Letterman honored that picket line in 1988, you remember he was on at a later hour and at a different network. He was still at NBC.
He didn't even give any hint of it last night when I was watching his monologue. Seems to be that he's going to go full speed ahead and still do the show. You know,
I don't
he
think
did
so.
It before. You think he's going to walk
while,
out?
For a
first.
While, he will be simpatico with them. Yeah. I saw something on the show, I guess it was Monday night. They were doing some pre-recorded bit, and they cut to a writer right as the bit was about to end, and he said, "Hi, I'm Joe Dick. I'm the head writer of the Late Show. We're about to go on strike, so we're holding back the punchline to this bit." Now, back to you, Dave.
That's what they did last night, because he mentioned the writer's strike, and then they gave the all the punchlines, the 10 top punchlines, and like four of them were Donald Trump's hair.
How does it affect it that he's also a writer? Isn't he listed as a writer on his own show?
Yeah, it's something with the union. He may not be a member of the Writers Guild of America, and as the host of the show, you know, I think he gets by it in that way.
I think it would be interesting, but also quite revealing if you put those guys out there. I think Letterman's incredibly talented and funny. I think we're all agreed. Mm-hmm. But getting him out there without all the pre-produced stuff, if it was just Letterman and guests, I'd watch it.
He'd do all right.
Hell, I'd watch it. I think it would be a lot of times I'd rather hear about him, the problems he's having raising a child,
going to the store,
how
or whatever.
People piss him off. I'd rather hear that than another one of the great moments in presidential speeches.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to do about, you know, no newspapers every morning and not being able to buy a new book for Christmas time.
No, those writers are not going on strike, just the TV and movie writers.
Oh, never mind.
Different writer.
Oh, all right.
Speaking of writing, our founding fathers thought it would be a good
idea. Thank God Seinfeld's wife got her book out.
I think fathers thought it'd be a good idea to have a system of checks and balances in our government. That's why we have the three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. But the legislative branch just irritates the dickens out of President Bush. It gets in his way. So he's found yet another way to go around Congress.
Great.
King George has for some time used what's known as a signing statement to put his own spin on the carefully worded bills that pass Congress.
Gracias.
Sometimes the Bush spin cancels out the lawmaker's work entirely.
Buenos dias.
Now the White House says the president will start using executive orders to make his own laws.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
White House sources tell the Washington Post the administration will implement as much new policy as it can this way.
Quote, Buenos dias.
After concluding that President Bush cannot do much business with the Democratic leadership, end quote.
Good morning, 54 shots.
What could possibly go wrong?
There's too much holly on that board.
Sudia ya viene llegando.
I love that one.
But we still have Holly Morris milking a pig.
Good morning, 54 shopping days until Christmas. Mm. Yikes.
That gives me 53.
Right.
Actually, on this tape, she's not milking a pig, is she?
No, unless she's you're talking about the Anchorman.
Get one gift, though, probably for your wife.
Feeding milk to a pig.
Now I'm watching.
She feeds the pig.
Right here, that are joining us here this morning. Now, come on.
And you know what's great about those guys? They're so controlled that if that did happen, he'd just say, "Thank you, Holly."
The quarterback for the Detroit Lions is apologizing for his Halloween costume. That's our story when we continue.
Oh, good tease.
And you know what? And what's odd about that is the guy that did this, he's a super Jesus freak.
Really?
I mean, this guy, John Kitna for the Lions.
I'm like everybody listening right now. I don't know what it is.
Wait till you hear.
Okay, well, goddamn.
I know.
Well, that's why we tease commercials.
It's a tease.
All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let's see having word from Planet Crackpot. Yeah.
There's a vulgar element involved.
Yes.
With the Don and Mike Show.
What about the vagina?
Ah, vulgar. Hi there, Buzz.
Alex, hi. What?
Hi.
Huh?
Hi.
Hi.
Huh?
Detroit Lions. Lions quarterback John Kitna. Someone's at the door.
Wow.
Not really.
Noisy in here.
Lions quarterback John Kitna has apologized to defensive line coach Joe Cullen for designing and wearing a Halloween costume that made fun of the coach. You see, Coach Cullen was arrested a little over a year ago for getting drunk and pulling up to a Wendy's drive-thru while he was stark naked. Cullen's had a couple of alcohol-related run-ins with the law, but this was by far the most interesting. It was also the most embarrassing moment ever for the Detroit Lions.
No, I don't think so. I think last year their performance on the field was the most.
I forgot about that.
So this guy Kitna, before you continue with the story, you should know he's not one of these low-profile Jesus guys.
Right.
He's the guy, when he goes out on the field before the game, he's got a cross on his hat.
Really way out front.
And he's got the cross that he wears under his jersey. And he's one of these dudes that's always, you know, I want to thank Jesus first for making everything happen for me.
People really let their hair down at Halloween, don't they?
Really, really great by John Kitna. The outfit that he wore was a T-shirt / slacks combination. Painted on was the physique of a naked man.
Man boobs and all.
With man boobs. And he had a little, like, jock strap. Mm-hmm. Over the area where the painted-on genitals were, and his wife was dressed as a Wendy's drive-through operator.
Wendy, with the wig, the red wig with the pigtail. Yeah.
And she had the headset on, and she had the Wendy's visor on.
Right. So even good, solid Christians like to have a little fun.
Sure. A lot of people were in Detroit. Oh, a huge controversy. People were appalled at what Kitna did, but not Coach Cullen. He says he's not upset at all. It's Halloween.
Absolutely. That's the right attitude.
I really think it's great. I saw this on PTI last night, and I laughed because you have to know, like I said, this guy, John Kitna, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's
Let's get our Christ on.
He's one of those guys.
Right, and he still did it.
Do you think when the coach issued his statement, it sounded more like, it's okay, it's Halloween.
I'm too hungover to deal with that now.
This is John Kitna.
And here's the difference between winning and losing. If the Lions were 2-5,
yes.
If he had the balls to do this, then they would hold him up and they would say, "You freak, get out of town." But because they're 5-2,
yeah, they're going to give him a free pass.
Everyone, that's fine.
Don't want him to play that way.
Football was never like this, but it is now. A new survey of former high school football players, guys between 18 and 23, who did not go on to play in college, shows that 1/3 of them have had some kind of sexual contact with another guy.
Michael Soares.
Oh, wow.
Hi there. It was my brother.
Homovember.
1 in 3, pardon the pun.
And what excitement we have today.
Former players were surveyed in various parts of the U.S. Most identified themselves as straight and said they felt ashamed or angry about what happened in their youth.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
The researcher behind the survey, again, no pun intended, says he now believes this might be true of all young men in that age group, not just football players.
I like rape.
The sociologist says it's not so taboo anymore, and he says today's young man knows that having gay sex does not automatically make him gay.
Tony Dungy, your team today completed the largest comeback in AFC or NFC championship game history. How did you guys do this?
You are gay.
Let's hit the locker room.
And that brings us back to the latest conservative anti-gay Republican lawmaker to be caught in red stockings.
Gay.
And a bustier. To update you, Washington State's Richard Curtis has resigned under pressure from his own party after the news of his gay outing during a Republican retreat.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
They voted against every gay rights bill put before him. And in another case of karma...
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
You know, that works with just about anything.
Sure.
He's wearing a bodysuit.
And Florida police have still not found the mass murderer.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
New Jersey officials are still looking for the pedophile.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Do we have the tape from the steam room where the young kid walked in on the sportscast?
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
And in another case of karma meets justice.
Oh, and goddamn, they found another noose.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
That Baptist church
found another swastika at American University.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
Jim Nance all over the news.
Of course, you heard the comments about Nance the bounty hunter.
Are you Jim Nance?
Hello, friend.
He's all over the place.
Every bad story is Jim
That's
Nance.
That's right. Jim Nance, friend.
That Baptist church in Kansas that likes to say God hates fags at the funerals of dead American soldiers, gay or straight, that church has been ordered to pay one grieving father nearly $11 million. The judge says he knows Westboro Baptist can't afford to pay it, and with that, he approved the jury's decision.
That's kind of weird when they award them that just because they know they can't pay it.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that, if they'll have to pay any of it, some portion of it, but the judge felt that the jury's decision should stand.
I know we've talked about these creeps before. I saw them on TV today.
Right.
Again, holding up the sign that really says, more than anything, you're an idiot. So much. God hates fags.
God hates fags. You saw the picture of that old lady?
Yes.
That crusty old lady. It didn't look like she had a tooth in her head.
I mean, there's really... Well, I take it back. There are a lot of worse things you could say on a sign.
Mm-hmm. In Alabama, the Ku Klux Klan is protesting against the Ku Klux Klan. The Alabama Klan is mad at the National Knights of the KKK about an anti-immigration rally that's planned for a small Alabama town on November 10th.
Look, this is Robert the Mailman.
He's coming to the microphone.
Yeah, shocker.
What have I always said?
Uh-huh.
We mustn't fight each other.
Oh, stop it.
The Alabama Klan is mad at the National Klan for interfering with last month's Trail of Tears motorcycle ride. So when the National Knights arrive for a return engagement on the 10th of November, the Alabama Knights plan to stage a protest. It may be the first time in the history of the South that a town has issued protest permits to two separate clans on the same day.
Wow. I was the one that said, spell it with a K. It's funny.
In other news...
like crazy glue.
Exactly.
Right.
In other news, it's 2007 and there's still a KKK.
You bet.
The numbers are in, and one out of every 10 men is double dipping. 10 guys out of 100 are having sex with more than one partner.
Oh, well, then.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Sometimes the number goes much higher than
Buzz. That. It's all about the buzz.
It's not surprising,
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
What happened to Jim Nance? Where is he now?
Was the setup again?
I said 10 guys out of 100, or 1 in 10, if you want to look at it that way, having sex with more than one partner.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Apparently the Nance tape is gone.
Are you Jim Nance?
There it is.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Now, this is not surprising news, but it puts a number on the percentage of men who, in many cases, are keeping sexually transmitted diseases alive. I walked into that one, didn't I?
Keep it alive.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Keep it alive, friend.
A survey asked 5,000 guys to count their partners over the last year, complete with
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown.
I'm Irv Harrigan.
And we got VD.
George Michael.
They were also asked to give the exact dates of their encounters. University of North Carolina researchers say the problem was not having multiple partners in a year. It was in having relationships that overlap. And, of course, unprotected sex.
And under the lap as well.
Hey.
The late President Gerald Ford found Bill Clinton's womanizing disturbing. So much so, he thought Bill should check into rehab for his addiction to sex. Ford's wife, Betty, was a recovering alcoholic.
Hi, baby.
One of our most famous rehabs bears her name. So Gerald Ford was up to date on the subject of addiction. It's in a new book, Write It When I'm Gone, Remarkable Off-the-Record Conversations.
My name is Betty, and I'm an alcoholic.
You're hot as balls, Betty.
Amen.
With Gerald R. Ford.
Give you something to drink.
And in it, Ford tells a reporter this about Bill. Quote, this is Gerald Ford, the late Gerald Ford speaking.
All right, dead man talking.
He's sick. He's got an addiction. He needs treatment. There's treatment for that kind of addiction. A lot of men have gone through the treatment with a lot of success, but he won't do it because he's in denial. End quote.
All right.
Yeah, like Michael Douglas. Didn't Michael Douglas come out and say
he's a sex addict?
His entire sex addict thing was something he made up.
Yeah, just to get his wife off his back.
And also, he didn't want people to know that he was in drugs, so he thought.
Oh, people, that's what he did. It was not to get his wife off his back. It was to mask the fact that he was a drug addict
or
an alcoholic.
He thought that people would accept him more if they thought he was a sex addict and not a drug addict.
And we did.
Ford also said he thought Bill Clinton was the best politician he'd ever seen, even better than John F. Kennedy. And finally, sex has been banned altogether.
Better than George Wallace?
No, presidents. Mm-hmm. But George Wallace was never elected.
As hard as Rob tried, he came up short.
Should have been presidents. Right.
George Wallace. And we're not talking about the Vegas comedian.
And no. 10 o'clock show on the Strip.
Right. No, the guy that you shot, Mike.
Yeah, well, hey, you're not supposed to say that.
Mike's gun.
Mm-hmm. Sex. He's in Laurel, Maryland, you know.
Tell me about it.
Back when I lived at the Willow Lake Apartments.
Wow, what a memory.
Yeah, I got a good
memory. Hard to forget a thing like that.
Yeah, syphilis drive.
Sex has been banned on Singapore Airlines' new Airbus 380, even though that plane is the first in commercial aviation to come equipped with double beds. Quoting a company spokesman, if couples use our double beds to engage in inappropriate activity, we would politely ask them to desist. The rules for behavior in our double beds are the same ones that apply throughout the aircraft. Quoting a man on the first flight, they'll sell you a double bed, give you privacy and endless champagne, and then say you can't do what comes naturally. Quoting a British woman on board, they seem to have done everything they can to make it romantic, short of bringing around oysters.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Yeah, cousin. I'm,
on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh.
Have you noticed that thing that Buzz does with his voice, too?
Yes. Short of bringing around oysters. I have champagne and oysters for you. Slurp this.
All right, well, listen, that's it. I am sure that the town of Lincoln, Nebraska will never be the same.
Yeah, we hope hope they enjoyed it.
We'll see you tomorrow. They picked a good time to jump on this boat. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good day to you, sir.
And Peter North.
It starts in 10 minutes.
What?
The Puppet Show at Executive Getty.
Oh, God. Einen Finger.
This is the Don and Mike Show.